Intervju Radija Študent.
Pozdravljeni tudi v mojem imenu. Danes v Eriš intervjuju gostimo londonsko zasedbo Toj, ki v sklopu nove sezone Index Tura nastopa v kinu Šiška. Omeniti velja tudi to, da si boste ob Toj lahko danes ogledali tudi premierni nastop nove hrvaško-slovenske superskupine Samo Svjetlo, ki jo sestavljajo člani zased Move Knowledgement, Psyhopet, Mike, Abob in tako dalje. Predno pa nadaljujemo z intervjujem, predlagam, da začetek poslušamo skladbo Colors Running Out za sedbe Toj. V studiju sta se mi že pridružila Tom in Dominik. So Tom and Dominik, a few Toy members including you previously worked with Jolene. So what kind of experience have you gathered during this period that helped to shape you into a group we know today?
Well, we played in a few different bands before this one. And I think, you know, it's all good experience, really. But this is very much the first band that we all felt like it was our own, and that we felt truly happy about the music and the lineup as well. So I think it's all been a really good experience for us. You know?
Yeah, I think like everything that you do and you're growing up, as a teenager especially, is like shapes you into the person that you are, and the people that we are now in the band. So it's definitely had, obviously, it's had a massive impact on us as people and us as musicians. Mm-hmm. And I think definitely in a positive way, because as long as you keep going, it doesn't matter what happens to you. Like, as long as you're still together, you can be, you know, you're still there, you're still.
So, Toy is your sign of complete creative independence.
Yeah, it is really. Yeah, I mean, like when we started the band, that was one of the things that we were keen to like establish between us, and we all knew that like, we all shared exactly the same sort of like vision for it together. And you know, one of the most important things about forming this band was that, you know, we just did everything to make ourselves feel sort of like, you know, happy and you know, creatively sort of fulfilled. And yeah, it's paramount to this band that we do exactly what we believe in.
I think it's just like that thing of just having complete control of what we're doing. And obviously when we were playing with Jolene and the Jing Chang Chong, we weren't in control of what we were doing. So we were sort of being led around, really. And that's not something that we ever really envisioned ourselves doing when we were kids growing up. You know? We always wanted to be in charge. And so I guess like when we formed Toy, we were like, let's stop kind of getting pissed around by everyone. And let's start actually, you know, doing what we really believe in and doing it, to, you know, doing it properly. So that's kind of what happened.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sound-wise, Toy represent a bit drastic change, but sonically rich and rhythmically driven music still keeps that melodic appeal. How did the tracks come together for the albums?
We kind of let the tracks come together in a variety of different ways, really. Like, you know, like have a really open approach about how we write songs. Like sometimes you write, one person writes a lot of a song on their own, and sometimes we all develop it from the very beginning, all five of us, and just sort of record it and listen back and all just discuss, you know, the songwriting process. And then we kind of allow it to develop once it's finished, kind of allow it to develop over the course of rehearsing it in the studio or even playing gigs. You know, they kind of take on new shapes as you play them over a period of time.
Yeah. I guess we don't have like a really strict like regime
about how
the songs come together. There's all sorts of different ways that they can come about and how they can develop. And I guess that's...
Which is really important.
Which is something that we like, because it just means that it kind of creates a bit of a variation in what we're doing, I think, rather than just being like one man's sole vision. It's like all of us kind of working together. I think that's something that we're like happy with. Because luckily we all really get on really well and have very similar musical approaches anyway, so we can do that without compromising very at all, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Most bands wouldn't be able to do that, you know.
And what you like to listen?
We listen to absolutely everything we can get our hands on, really. You know, just like as many, I mean, I think the more different types of music that you explore, you know, for a start, you know, the more enjoyable it is. And also, I think it improves, you know, the music that you make as well. So, you know, we're just constantly searching out new different kinds of weird and wonderful music, really.
Yeah, and we love it when people play us new things that we haven't heard before as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just nice just constantly just not be having to listen to the same thing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's easier these days, I guess, which is one good thing about the internet, I guess, is that you can constantly find new things quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not just kind of stuck with your record collection. You can always be constantly exploring new types of music and things like that, which I think we're just starting to get into recently.
Mm-hmm. And what about fans? I mean, do you like that they... trying to get your music during internet, even?
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, like, we like the idea of people being able to hear it, you know, in whatever way necessary, really. And I think, you know, the internet's been a really great way for us to be able to, you know, people know about our band, say, even if we've never been to that particular country, and that's an amazing thing that we appreciate, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really cool thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've heard that you like to create special atmosphere while recording in studio. So do you think it's important to have a great atmosphere while creating sort of atmospheric music?
Yeah. Definitely, I think in everywhere, I think when that question kind of, I guess that comes about from the fact that we used kind of like some sort of lasers and things whilst we were recording and sort of just sort of set up conditions where we all felt comfortable, mm-hmm. where it didn't just feel like we were in a normal studio. Because mm-hmm. the studio we recorded the two albums in is our friend Dan Carey's. It's the bottom floor of his house, basically, mm-hmm. the basement floor of his house. So it's not, it doesn't look like a normal studio anyway, because it's not, it's his house. Mm-hmm. And but I think that that's really important. I think also, the fact that everyone's kind of mindset has to be right as well to kind of get the right take or to, mm-hmm. you know, develop the music in the recording studio to where we want it to be. You know, if, you know, everyone needs to be kind of the conditions of everything, really, aren't they? Everyone needs to be on the same page, I think.
Yeah.
I think as long as we're all really locked in musically and also emotionally, then that's when we make the best music and that's when we record the best music as well, mm-hmm. definitely.
Yeah, you can like record a sort of technically perfect take, but it doesn't necessarily have the right feel to it. Because we all play together live. A lot of bands nowadays tend to record an instrument, you know, one at a time and layer it up. Because mm-hmm. we're all playing at the same time, it makes the atmosphere that much more important.
It makes a more intense atmosphere.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
It's important to kind of, when it's an intense atmosphere like that, you have to be a bit more careful with it, because things can go wrong when also things can go really right, so it's like a bit more of a risk,
exactly.
Which is kind of what we like about it, mm-hmm. recording that way.
Nice. Okay, we will have a short break and we will listen to Motoring.
Cool. We'll be right back.
Pozdravljen nazaj v Irish intervjuju, z nami so še vedno Toj. You are presenting a darker part of London music scene. How hard was it for Toy to gain recognition?
I think early on it sort of got going pretty quickly. We kind of managed to meet a few important kind of figures mm-hmm. as we were going up, like kind of just fortunately we got signed fairly quickly to Heavenly Records mm-hmm. when I think we'd only done a few gigs really, we'd just started. And they picked up on it quite quickly, and then so we managed to kind of get recording, release a single, first single, Left Myself Behind, fairly quickly after we'd started. And I think that was kind of just that song on its own, really. I think kind of started to sort of people started to pay a bit of attention to what we were doing, I guess, and then it sort of went on from there. I think it's really hard for bands these days. It doesn't matter who you are, really. Like, there's so much competition in London. Mm-hmm. There's millions of bands, mm-hmm. like doing all sorts of different things. Mm-hmm. And you know, I guess the main thing is just to try and strike out on your own, do something different. That's kind of what we were always trying to do. I think it was as hard as us for anyone. We worked pretty hard before we even played a gig. We rehearsed and kind of we were just constantly sort of writing and refining our sound for months, you know, mm-hmm. before we even played our first mm-hmm. gig. Mm-hmm. I think we know if you play in London, the first time you play, all your friends are going to come, everyone's going to tell everyone else. Like, it has to be right. Mm-hmm. We made sure that the first time we did our first proper gig, which was actually at the Cave Club, which is like a club in Islington, in London, we made sure that we were ready for it, because if it had gone wrong, then we probably wouldn't be talking to you now.
And what happened when you moved from club to tour with Placebo?
Well, various things happened in between.
That's years. That's a few years.
Time happened.
Yeah. All the things that happened.
Exactly. Mm.
As an insider, what's going on in London these days? Is it now the right time for guitar music?
Yeah, I mean, I think people always, you know, when you read like in magazines, people are always changing their minds about whether it's a good time for guitar music and stuff like that. I think it can always be a good time for guitar music as much as any other kind of music as well. But I think there's loads and loads of really good bands coming out at the moment, like young bands that are really great in London. In the east and north and also the south, like Fat White Family and stuff, and like a lot of bands that we're friends with making really, really cool music at the moment. So I think it's a great time at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, I think there's definitely more people seem to be willing to just have a go at the moment.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
London, I don't know. There was a bit of a time a few years ago where it seems like, I don't know, there didn't seem to be that many, they say, kind of guitar bands, mm-hmm. sort of doing so much stuff, but yeah, there's lots of different things cropping up all over the place, and I think the good thing is about it is everyone seems to be, well, as far as the kind of people that we are friends with anyway, or know, everyone's trying to do something different from each other. It's not like everyone's trying to emulate each other or try and create a scene or like mm-hmm. one big sound that everyone shares. Mm-hmm. The main aim everyone has got is trying to do their own thing, mm-hmm. trying to do it. I guess there's a sort of healthy competition as well mm-hmm. between everyone. To be better than each other, rather than it being like a kind of big communal loving, which I think is just the way I think that's just the way it is. That's the way people in bands seem to be. You know? So we just sort of sit back and witness it all. Yeah, it's fine.
So Dominic, you were speaking about magazines. Mm-hmm. How do you see music trends?
Well, I think it's certainly fascinating kind of looking at music trends and all the different ways and directions that music changes and different directions it travels off in over the years. But I think for us, you know, obviously the most important thing is to actually ignore them for the sake of our own music. Mm. And just, as Tom mentioned, just strike out on our own. I mean, you know, that's clearly what any band who takes themselves sort of seriously and wants to do something useful, should do.
Yeah. So, and the thing is, it always changes so quickly.
Like, yeah, in London.
So it doesn't really make any sense to pay too much attention to what's going on. I think the only trouble is when you sort of people try and lump you in with other things that are going on.
Which happens all the time.
Which happens with everyone all the time, because that's just the way that music journalists work for some reason. Because it's easy, I guess, and it stops them from having to actually
explain
describe
the
what the music sounds like. They can just say, sounds like this, and a bit like this, and a bit like them. Rather than them actually using their brains and just trying to actually describe something in an interesting way. But, you know, that's just the way that it works. And but it's not really something that we pay attention to, because we don't really even really read music magazines very much anyway, you know? It's just like...
You rather...
And I think that's the most people in the bands don't really actually read The Enemy, really. Or, like, you know, they don't really look at any of these music magazines because it's just something that everyone knows is... You know,
you rather invest your time in exploring.
Well, yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
yeah, just trying to enjoy ourselves.
Exploring anything.
Okay. Okay. What changed with your second album?
I think quite a lot of things, really.
Yeah.
I think obviously it was a much more intense writing period, whereas in one kind of more of a shorter period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the first record, the song was kind of. Well, some of the first songs on that record were written like a long time ago, you know, and then we developed them from there.
We sort of wrote the first album over a period of like a year and a half, didn't we?
Yeah, so a couple of the songs on the first record were finished in the studio, whereas some of the songs that appeared on the first album were written a long time before we actually even recorded it.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas in this second album, obviously, because of the amount of time, it was all done in a much more intense fashion, which I think was a really good thing, actually, because we wrote it, recorded it, mixed it in a kind of one big chunk. So it was very, very intense, obviously, made for a very different atmosphere, which I think you can hear on the record, you know. I think they've got very different atmospheres, those two records.
We kind of had less time to actually write it, but we had more time to record it, so it was sort of the other way around to making the first album. Like we focused more, once we'd had that intense period of writing the songs for the second album, once we got into the recording studio, we were able to focus more on the sonics of it as well, and like explore a bigger variety of different sounds, whether it be with drum sounds or synths and effects or guitar sounds and vocal sounds and everything. So so that was a really enjoyable part of creating the second album.
I think the similarities between the two of the both albums kind of like show all the like different facets of what we can do, I guess. Like, and they both the albums do that, you know, there's kind of different sides to us, and I think on those two records you can see those sides, and there's lots of different things going on, and I think in a way they can kind of work in some ways as kind of companion pieces. Although I think they do have a very different atmosphere to both of them.
Did you wrote something on tour?
We don't usually write that much on tour.
We've got a few little ideas kind of around.
Yeah, we have like sound checks to play, and usually we don't have much time in that, and that's kind of pretty much the only time we get much of a chance. We do lots of long drives and stuff.
When you're touring Europe, you know, we're driving often like 5-6 hours a day, getting to the show, you know, just about on time to sound check. You know, and then obviously like you've got a couple of hours, and then you go to something like this, an interview maybe, and then you have to play the gig, and then. Yeah, then the same thing happens the next day. It's very hard to find time to
we kind of prefer,
get together and write.
Yeah, we prefer doing it kind of in the, you know, basically in the comfort of our own homes, really, where we all feel like, you know, we can all hang out together in one of our houses and like record stuff easily, and experiment and things like that. So that just that kind of process tends to make more sense for us to really write the songs that we want to.
I guess like the busier we get, the more important it is for the short periods of time that we do get in London to get together and get things going. But it's kind of part of the challenge, I guess. We kind of
it's part of the fun.
Okay, this is your first time in Ljubljana, and you will have an opportunity to play after the first concert of a newly formed Slovenian and Croatian band, actually super group. Samo Svjetlo. So any nervousness?
Well, we're just really looking forward to checking them out. We've been told lots of great things about them.
We've heard lots of good stuff about them and the bands that they're in before, but it's in London, like, we don't have any knowledge of this sort of scene that they've obviously created, because whenever we talk to any Slovenian people since we've been here, everyone's going like, oh, you know, like, you know, we're kind of ignorant of it, I guess, because it hasn't travelled to London, I guess, and I'm sure it should have done. We look forward to hearing them play and then if we like it, listening to all their records. You know, that's what we do.
Yeah.
If we like something. Yeah, so, but we're not nervous yet. Maybe we'll be nervous after they, after they play. Yeah.
Fair enough. can we expect a mashup of older and newer songs today?
Yeah, definitely, yeah. But it's important for us to kind of, like, you know, play lots of stuff from both our records, because, you know, we think both of them are kind of just as important in terms of what we've achieved so far. So,
because it's all done in a fairly short period of time, really.
Yeah.
2012 was our first album, and just 2013 just a year after. So it all feels like one kind of like period in time, as far as we're concerned, you know. So, and I think when we're playing somewhere like Ljubljana tonight, where we've never been before, like, people have never seen us before, you know, and I don't think anyone that's here tonight would have ever seen us play before. So we want to be able to play them, you know, bits of all of the, you know, little bits of both the records. And,
It makes sense to us as well to do that, I think, you know, to mix up different songs. And also we like kind of trying to, like, play over the course of, say, a tour, or we like trying to play as many different songs as possible, really, you know. So, yeah, that makes sense to us, and I think it does to the audiences as well.
And we started to play longer sets now, where it's just like, you know, not too much longer, but it's just we play a fair few songs now, so we have to pick from, we have to play some old ones as well, because it goes on longer than just the length of the second album.
So will you include lasers and lights and stuff like that?
Well, we have some strobes.
We've got a couple of strobes.
Which is good, which are our own strobes, which you take around with us. And there's some house lights, but I think we've got, like, quite a clear idea of how we want it to look, so we kind of managed to get it pretty close each time we play.
When we're able to, we're going to start travelling around with, you know, the full works of lights and things like that.
We're running on a pretty tight budget.
We never have any money for that kind of stuff.
We can't afford
but
to
we know what we want.
Lights, you know. Maybe one day.
I think, like, the visual aspect to us in shows and even in music videos and stuff is really important to us. I think, like, you know, when you're listening to sounds and songs and music, you know, if you've got really interesting visuals and things, it can really, like, augment the experience. So we're very keen to explore that further.
Okay, thank you, guys. Cool.
Thanks for having us, man.
Thank you for your time, and see you tonight.
Cool.
Yeah, see you later.
See you there.
Thanks.
Cheers, man.
Cheers. Tako, tole je bil pogovor z Londončani Toj, ki bodo danes skupaj z domačo zasedbo Samo svetlo nastopili v kinu Šiška. Intervju sem pripravil Luka Vučković, vabljeni. Adio.
Interview Radio Student.